Yeah, you know, I mean, my mom, Patty Duke, the beloved Patty Duke, was, you know, president of the Screen Actors Guild, like Ronald Reagan before her. So from the time I'm a little kid, the idea is you have a voice, use it. And, you know, when I was 18, I started getting involved in presidential campaigns, and I've been involved with every cycle since, you know, I'm 45 now, so 112 presidential campaigns. But, I love it. I love being involved. I love understanding the issues and how they're changing and developing and how they're being discussed, and I like getting behind people who I believe in. So I'm a Hillary Clinton guy from literally 20 years ago when I first campaigned with her, and I've supported her, you know, unwaveringly ever since.
Now, this campaign, this election, is in some ways the stuff of fiction and movies. Have you ever seen an election even remotely like this one?
No, I don't think if you put this in a movie, the studio executives would let you do it. You know, it's like Iron Man is more realistic than what we're seeing now. It's a fascinating time, and I suppose it was predictable given the way social media has developed and given how polarized the politics has been over the last 20 years. So, but at the same time, you know, like I went to the University of Maine today. I went to the bookstore, the Briar Patch Bookstore in Bangor a little bit ago, and people are pretty optimistic. You know, when everywhere I go, the way people talk about how crazy the vitriolic, you know, discussions are in the media and stuff, it's almost like they're talking about somebody else. Like, oh, they talk about how, you know, in such negative terms and such harsh language and everything, and the accusations are like wild, accusations. So they almost talk about it like it's on a different planet. So I end up kind of that part of the discussion goes away, and we just start talking about, you know, what do people care about? Everybody wants to talk about, in all the places I've been so far, I think I've been in 12 states, people want to talk about mental health. That's like the biggest thing I hear about, more than even student education or more than, you know, prison reform or stuff to do with the commander-in-chief stuff. It's like people really want to know how we're going to help people and families who are, you know, dealing with mental health challenges in their life and their community and stuff. So I find myself, you know, like, that's what we talk about. We don't talk about the other stuff.
Sean, let me ask you this. We've reached this strange time in our history when someone with no executive experience, someone with no political experience, has the nomination of a major party. Why do you think that has happened? Because we've experienced here in Maine what that's like to have a chief executive with very little experience, someone painted as the outsider. And I don't know, if you want to get things done, what's wrong with being an insider who knows how to work the system pretty well?
Well, I don't have anything wrong, per se, with going to somebody who doesn't have a lot of political experience necessarily. But, you know, I think you're talking about the governor here and Donald Trump, and there's something really that they have in common, in my perspective, and that is that they talk in a way that sounds really, you know, familiar to people, and that's comforting and reassuring. But then you find them, you know, kind of acting out and with statements and the way they talk about policies that are just confusing. They distract with kind of hyperbole and lots of other kinds of, you know, colorful stuff that, you know, it's just kind of beneath the dignity of the people who they're representing. So I hope that, I mean, that's part of the reason. I don't like to say bad things about other people, but it is a time where if you don't respond to the kinds of things that people say, then you're just going to get hammered. So you kind of got to fight back, you know.
We're talking with Sean Astin here on Downtown. He's in Eastern Maine campaigning for Hillary Clinton. And you mentioned you've been with Hillary for some time. Tell us a little bit about the Hillary Clinton that people don't see at the convention, don't see on TV.
Well, I've been with Hillary when she was First Lady of Arkansas, campaigning with her. I've interacted with her as First Lady of the country. I've interacted with her in smaller settings in the Senate. My mom and I used to go up and lobby with a group of actors on education stuff. And seeing her, you know, when people from the other side of the aisle weren't being judged and, like, really enjoyed talking to her. And the fact is, she just knows the issues cold. She understands the dynamics. She really has a curiosity about the different approaches to getting you know, things done on a whole host of issues. I mean, the senators deal with stuff that you never really hear about in the media. They, you know, every day is filled with 500 different things. And she's so, it will sound like I'm talking about someone that people do not recognize based on how she is portrayed. But the Hillary Clinton I know and have experienced is thoughtful. She's sensitive. She's wickedly smart. And she really is passionate about other people. That's the person that I know. When I have a visit with her, it's like there's no one else in the room. She's talking directly to me. She's not talking down to me. She's not talking past me. She's not talking conspiratorially with me. She's talking to me based on like a normal human being. And I wish that the media and other people would allow for that in the way politics are covered, because it's really not fair to not get to know the real people. And I, you know, so that's why I feel comfortable going out and supporting Hillary Clinton, because I know how much she cares about others. I know how good she is with people. And I'm like absolutely sick and tired and disgusted of people representing her in a way that, you know, is doesn't you know, accurately reflect the person I know.
We'll get back to the election, but I'd be remiss when we have you here without talking a little bit about your career. Yeah, most actors would love it if in their career they created one iconic character, but my gosh, from Mikey Walsh to Rudy to Samwise, you've had a number of them through the years. What's the character that people come up to you and ask about the most?
Well, it's so funny. You just picked the kind of the three that I'm most known for and that were the most successful at the box office and around the world, and they've lived on in the cultural memory of people. Like those, but people come up to me all the time and they want to talk about 50 First Dates and the muscle building guy with the mesh shirt on who, you know, talks about protein shakes and not steroids, and, you know, like people, and they almost feel guilty talking about it. They're like, listen, we know that you were in The Lord of the Rings, but can you do that goofy guy who likes, you know, Reese's and Spam? He's like, sure, we can talk about that.
Now, it had to be a big help to you in your career to have family who understood how to navigate the system. And you mentioned your mom, the great Patty Duke, that we all had so much respect for through the years. But your dad, John Astin, now I don't even know if this is true. My homeroom teacher in high school claimed all through high school that he was roommates with John Astin at Johns Hopkins for at least a semester, and used to tell stories about him reciting Shakespeare in the bathtub. He's had a remarkable career, and he's...
Wait, he was roommates with who?
With John Astin.
Wait, that's my pop.
I know.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, so I have absolutely no reason to believe, while I don't have any independent knowledge that that's true, I can't imagine why someone would figure out how to make that up. So I'll go with... ding, 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 spot on accurate.
Yeah, it works for me. But he's still working. I saw you posted on social media. He's gone back to his alma mater and really brought that theater program back to life and is still working with young actors. That's just phenomenal.
Oh, you know, and they love him. They love him. The students that they come back, they change their major. They change their minor, rather, and he's getting it, so they're going to offer it as a major this year or next year in the spring, I think, and it just keeps him young, you know. It keeps him young, and he believes that the humanities or the liberal arts or understanding drama helps to round out the life experience of, you know, at Johns Hopkins, they're becoming doctors and biochemical engineers and all this stuff. But when they're with my dad and his classes and when they're putting on plays, they're listening in a different way and they're sharing their emotions in a different way. And his feeling is that those, you know, students will go out into the world as kind of more full people. And you can tell every time those students come back and talk how grateful they were for it. So, I couldn't possibly be more proud of my dad. Of course, this morning he texted me, go get him for Hillary, Sean. Go get him, with an exclamation point. So I'm like, right on, Dad.
Well, so that brings us back around. And here we are, not just for students now, but for the future. What's at stake in this presidential election from your perspective?
Well, it's so easy. You know, every presidential cycle is the most important, election in our life. It's the most important election in a generation. You know, when you're wrapped up in a campaign, you get that feeling. I honestly think that history is going to judge everyone who's a voting age in this country based on where they come down in this election. And I just can't, you're talking about criminal justice reform. You're talking about students who have, you know, loans, dealing with there's our culture, our society, our infrastructure, there's so much that we can work on together. You know, that slogan for the campaign, you know, stronger together, isn't just a slogan. It actually means something. It means if we work together, we can get something done. And you know, I hate focusing on Donald Trump, but man, I mean, you know, he's just not competent in this area. And if you make mistakes at that level, it can really, really be damaging. And so I, you know, what's at stake is, you know, progress and safety, you know.
I'm always amused by this, too, when you'll hear people say, why do I want to hear what an actor has to say? And who are the actors, the musicians? Why do they get to speak out? And as somebody who, by the way, teaches high school civics in my full-time job, yeah, you're an American, too. You get to express your opinion. And that's one of the great things about this country.
Well, I don't disagree with those people. I mean, I don't disagree with those people that their voice is any less important than mine, or that my voice or any actor's voice or talent or whatever is any more important. So that's what I say. I say my voice is no more important than anyone's, but it is, in fact, no less important either. And,
right.
And you know, if you get involved with presidential campaigns, I mean, anybody can just walk into a Hillary Clinton office and introduce themselves and learn about what's going on and like it or don't like it or whatever. When you do that, when you get involved, you'd be surprised how your individual voice, you know, is raised up when you get opportunities to have an influence on other people. So, you know, I've been in these movies that people like, and people genuinely, for a moment or not, want to hear what I have to say, or they don't, and that's fine. So I respect that point of view more than people might realize. And yet at the same time, you know, I did serve on the President's Council on Service and Civic Participation under George Bush. I served as a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army for 10 years under 6 secretaries and 2 administrations. I got a degree in American literature and culture, history in American literature and culture with honors from UCLA. Like, there's things that people don't necessarily know about me because they're not big public things, but I have chops in this area. I have a lot of experience, and I've got a lot that I want to convey to people. And so, you know, by golly, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. And before we let you go, Sean, what's up next for you career-wise? What projects are you working on?
Well, it's funny. When I'm not doing some thing that's a network show or a studio show, I'm a runner. That's my kind of hobby. So I'm running in the Portland, Oregon Marathon next month, and then the New York City Marathon right before the election, actually. And, you know, I've got 3 independent films that are in the can that is going to be very hard to find them for people because they're very small films. And I do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle voiceover of Raphael, right, which is just awesome. 5 years of doing that. And there's little things here and there. I'm always kind of grinding it out. But there's I'm waiting for the next big thing. And I pray that, you know, I'll be able to find some good opportunity to keep, you know, doing what I do.
Well, Sean, I salute anybody who gets themselves involved in politics at a time when a lot of people turn their nose up at what's going on in the political world. I think we need more people from all professions to get out there and get involved. So I salute you for that and really appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much, and I appreciate you. You know, the second you speak out in this culture, half of the people suddenly seem to hate you. And my thing is, I'm not going to turn away because of that. So you letting somebody come on who's got a very strong point of view, I'm sure you'll get some blowback too. So I appreciate you at least giving me the opportunity to share my, you know, feelings.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Sean, great talking with you. Continued success in your career. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much,
man.
That's a Sean Astin checking in here on Downtown. 12 to go before the top of the hour. We'll take a break. Come back, got the calendar and tweets of the day straight ahead. It's the Pulse, WZON.
Do we ever agree on anything?
We both like the Bangor Mall Cinema 10.
The cozy stadium.